I had a fantastic idea this past week. I thought, how cool would it be if we received an email? I know this is hard to even imagine these days, but we received an email from someplace like Nigeria where we learned that somebody's husband had just passed away and left them a big fortune, and they decided out of everybody on the World Wide Web that we were the ones chosen to give the fortune to. Wouldn't that be amazing if that were to ever happen, right? Right. Fortunately, we haven't based our church's finances on the hope that that email is going to come true. If only we would send them all of our banking account information, then they would send us back the $1 million, right? But let's just imagine, just for a second, let's say that you just won the genetic lottery, okay? And hard to believe, but you get a call from a lawyer you've never heard of. He mentions a name you never know that happens to be your great long-lost aunt that lives in Massachusetts. And they had to get on Ancestry.com to even find the closest relative, and they found you. And congratulations, you've just got $1 million. That's a pretty good day, right? Yeah, that's a great day. What would you do with it? $1 million. I'm just curious. Somebody call it out. What would you do? Rod, what would you do? Pay off debt. You got all spiritual on us, right? Pay off the church. Now, wouldn't it be awesome if we didn't have a mortgage payment? Oh, yeah. No car payments? Man. What would you do? Somebody else. Call it out. Yeah, okay, we're having fun here. We're not being spiritual. Y'all are way too spiritual right now. Alaska hunt. That's what now we're talking, right? Kill innocent animals. There we go. Do you realize what we have with the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ is not only just greater than $1 million, guys, it's infinitely and unmeasurably greater than even a phone call saying, hey, you've just inherited this. We have that in the Lord. And guess what? We have it in the Lord by God's design through prayer. Through prayer. And I wonder, even as we mention that word, how many of us are taking advantage of the Lord that we serve, of the God that we serve, to access his power and his authority? How many of us are actually using that on a daily basis in prayer? Now, when I was on the sabbatic leave, I began wrestling with this subject, and I knew that God wanted me to preach on prayer. And, it's just not one of those, I see it in your eyes, that people enjoy. Oh, man, he's going to talk to me about prayer. Because let's face it, we stink at it, right? We stink at it. And what makes matters worse, I've preached good sermons on prayer. I'm just going to tell you, I have. And you get online and you hear good sermons on prayer, but how many of those sermons have actually made us return back home and say, something's going to be different? That maybe instead of watching this Cowboys game, which I'll be watching it, and maybe instead of watching this, I should devote that time to prayer. Maybe I got to wake up at 6:30 tomorrow morning, but maybe I should put my alarm for 6 a.m. because I want God to have that 30 minutes first. What would it take for us to develop and receive that sort of passion to actually go and do the very thing that God has called us to do so many times? So my prayer and my hope is that this is different. It's not going to be normal. I hope that it's different, that it causes you to leave. I would praise the Lord if tonight I get a message that says, hey, I was talking about what the Lord was doing, and it had nothing to do with how great your sermon was. It had to do with me being on my knees and crying out to the Lord. I want us to look in Luke chapter 24 in verse 49. Now, if you're new to our church, we normally find a passage and we just dig into it. What we're going to be doing over the next 4 weeks is digging into this topic of prayer with all of our might and seeing just what God's word says about it. See, in Luke 24, Jesus has just risen from the dead. He's been walking around the earth in power. He's appeared to hundreds of people. Things are just pretty good right now if you're a disciple. But then in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, Jesus gathers them together before he's going to ascend into heaven. And he says, "Behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you." You theologians, Bible scholars, what is that promise? Holy Spirit, right? A few days after this, Holy Spirit is going to descend on them in power. It's going to be amazing. So he says, "Behold, I'm going to send this promise upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Wow. What? It's just incredible imagery to me. Can you imagine being wrapped up in the power, the presence of God wherever you go? Now, there's two things that just jump out to me about this verse. Well, the first thing is that the aspect of waiting here, right? Wait here, and I'm going to clothe you on power. And can you imagine being Peter, you know, antsy Peter, shoving his foot in his mouth? I know Christ is risen from the dead, and he's just ready, right, to charge out there, ready, whoa, he did it, you know, booyah, all of you haters, anybody that didn't think he was going to do it, you've been proved wrong, right? That's Peter. He's just ready to get out there and shove it in your face. Yet Jesus, I have a feeling he's just looking at him right in his eyes, "Peter, wait here, because I want to give you something that's going to be my power. Not a power where you're going to go out there and do it on your own and mess up and be covered in shame, but on my power. Wait." So another thing that jumps out to me here is that it's not our power. See, Peter got up and he preached an incredible sermon at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. The words were nothing special. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit was special. To save 3,000 people in that one hearing, that was what was amazing. Right? It wasn't their power. It was God's power. Wait on it. Walk in it. Be clothed in this power. I want to ask you, are you clothed in the power of God Almighty? Is his power around you? Does it envelope you? Because I have a feeling that some of us in this room and a lot of people around the United States of America and the church today practice naked Christianity. And I'm a pastor. You can say naked from up here. I have a feeling that they're out there practicing naked Christianity. And here's what it might look like. Maybe this sounds familiar to you, right? That we just start complaining before the Lord. God, why is it so cold out here, right? God, why did you make it so cold? I'm just cold all the time. What's your problem? Are you not a God that loves me anymore, right? That do you not have power anymore? That I thought that you could make it warm. What's your problem? When in reality, God has given us a wardrobe that's much greater than the coats from my household closet, right? God has given us a wardrobe to be clothed in his power. And I wonder in spiritual eyes if the Lord is looking down on us sometime and saying, am I missing something here, right? Jonathan, you're complaining and you're asking about this stuff. Why don't you clothe yourself with the power that I have for you on high? And see my spirit change your environment. And see me take care of the needs that you're complaining about instead of being focused on that sin that's around you. Well, what a difference it would make to be clothed in power. How many of us in our naked Christianity have acted like, well, God, I'm just getting beat up all the time, right? And look at my arms because they're just bare and they're exposed and I'm sick of this. Do you not love me anymore? When God in reality wants to clothe us with the very armor of God that would protect us from the blows that the enemy and the world wants to send to us on a day-to-day basis. Wait for me. Be clothed with power on high. You know, there are people in this room that can talk about God. I'm one of them, right? People in this room that know where to turn in the Bible and find information about God, I'm one of them. But the only thing, right, that shows God's impact in your life, it's this right here. It's not that other stuff. On your knees before the Lord, are you allowing him to dress you in his power? Are you running around being beat up? You know, James 4:17 says something to me that's pretty staggering. It says, if you know what you're supposed to do and you don't do it, what is it called? Sin. Sin. Do you know when we look at this picture this way, that God has given us everything we need, he's equipped us with everything we need to clothe us in power for this world. When we don't access it, what is it called? No, guys, it's just ugly truth. It's sin when we don't pray. It's sin when we don't pray. And we don't like that. We would act like, no, it can't be sin. It's got to be sin when I lust. You're right. That is sin. This is sin too. And it works the same way. You know, when people come and they say, okay, Jonathan, I clicked on this thing on the internet and I'm never going to do that again. Right? I'm never. Yeah, right. Okay. Because you're going to get into a place where you're all by yourself and in the dark and you're going to click on it again. Why? Because sin snowballs. That's what it does. It just builds up and it builds up until we wake up and say, no, I've got to crucify this sin on that cross of Jesus Christ and let him deal with it to set me free from that sin. It's the same way with this prayerlessness, isn't it? Right, with this prayerlessness, man, we go a day, I didn't pray. I go another day, I didn't pray. And then finally, great, this crazy pastor, he preached this thing that I need to go and pray, so I'm going to go get on my knees, and it's just powerless, isn't it? I don't even know what to pray for, and it just sounds stupid, and okay, there, I didn't feel anything. I probably won't do that tomorrow. Because God wants us to sit at his feet, to abide in his presence, to wait on him until we're clothed with his power on high, and then to function in that power, to function in what he's called us to do, not to be powerless. Listen, I see two horrible consequences to a prayer life that is lacking. Now, I would be scared to death. I thought about this in my notes of asking, how many of you pray for more than 10 minutes? How many of you pray for more than 30 minutes? I was way too scared to do that. We know we stink at this subject. And here's two things that maybe you haven't thought about. You see, not praying produces a meaningless spiritual life. It's meaningless. I want you to flip back a few pages in Luke to 11. Luke chapter 11 in verse 39. This is a place where Jesus is confronting the Pharisees, you know, all the religious, snotty people of the day. He's confronting them, and it's a place where we read it in Scripture and are like, yes, Jesus, you know, you tell them what's up. And then we realize that he's actually talking about us in the middle, and we say, no, Jesus, please stop. It's too much. In verse 39, the Lord says to this Pharisees, now you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but inside of you, you are full of robbery and wickedness. And may that not be said of us. Oh, Lord, when you come back, I don't want that to be said of me. But in reality, if we don't pray, we're forfeiting. We're handing over the very thing that the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus will use to cleanse us from the inside out. If we don't take advantage of that, we run the risk of becoming the very Pharisees that Jesus chastised time and time again. You know what we do? We get these trappings of religion, don't we? Because if I don't pray, and I know, man, I'm just ugly in here, but I'm just ignoring God, but I know church stuff. I know Bible stuff, so I can fake it. I can even pray and act like I know what I'm doing, and it's not tapping into the Spirit of God, but I can continue doing it. You know what we do? Man, okay, Jonathan's talking about this clothing, power stuff from on high. I got clothing of my own. Man, I'm just going to be dressed in power that I know, and everybody's going to love this. And God, you need to bless this, right? And so, man, we just dress ourselves, right? The way that we just think it's going to be fit and entertaining. And yeah, he is a great Christian. Look at this guy, right? It's okay. You can laugh. I know awesome, and this shirt is awesome, by the way. I know what awesome is like. We do this stuff as if by it we have some sort of life. But I wonder if God in his spiritual eyes would say, Jonathan, you idiot, right? What are you doing? Acting like you can clothe yourself from power on high. That stupid hat, you can't even look up and see me for crying out loud, right? Although it looked really good when I bought it in Colorado. I don't know what it is about the mirrors in dressing stores. They're different than mirrors at home. Something special. There are churches that operate this way, right? They get you laughing and get you excited about what I'm able to do in my flesh. And then we walk out the back door, and I'm really sorry you just saw my belly. That wasn't part of it. We walk out the back door and we're the same way as when we came in. Maybe the outside of the bowl got cleaned, but inside it, it's still the wickedness, still the strife, still the burdens that we didn't allow the Lord to deal with. Meaningless spiritual life. You know, it's amazing to me as I look at this. What does that do as you're a Pharisee? It isolates you because suddenly you're looking at other people of I'm better than you. I've got this cool hat and this shirt, whatever it is. I know more. So you're isolated, right? And what does it do? It produces powerlessness, right? Where you can't rebuke Satan and his attacks anymore. You can't pray over somebody for healing anymore, somebody for power of God type of stuff anymore. But here's what the Lord says. This is James chapter 5. If you turn with me, James chapter 5, verse 16. James says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Isn't that beautiful? Do you see how it's the opposite of a Pharisee, that it's community, right? Confess your sins to one another. We're not alone. We're holding hands in the Lord, and we're just getting right together with the Lord. But then he says this, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Man, what a statement. Prayer is effective. Prayer is powerful. See, and we see in God's design, community and power. We see in the design of our own flesh, isolation and powerlessness. Are you clothed with power from on high? See, the other horrible consequence to a lack of prayer is that it really stops your role in salvation of Jesus Christ and in the spread of salvation. So you theologians, Bible scholars, who works our salvation? God, right? A little bit scared to yell it out right now. I don't know what you're asking. God works our salvation. Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. Now it's God's grace that saves you through your faith. And it's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. He's given it to you. Verse 9, not by works so that no one can boast. God is making sure there in Ephesians chapter 2, we're not taking credit for salvation. I don't work salvation in you. God works salvation in you. Even last week, we were talking about 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And it's right up here where we were saying you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, right? But then you look at this second half, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's God's spirit that has the power to reach into darkness and pull you out of that darkness into his light. But if we don't pray, how is God's spirit going to allow us to be a part of that? You know, when Paul writes Romans, he says, they're not going to believe if they don't hear. They're not going to hear if we're not sent to them. But if we're not in community and communion with the Holy Spirit, How are we going to know where we're being sent? How are we going to know what to say in those times? In my flesh, I can say a whole lot, but it doesn't have the power to change you. In my spirit, I might say something stupid, and God can use that to radically rearrange your life. That's why you keep coming back here. I don't know why. I'm like, man, I really messed that up. And then you come back. That's crazy. I wonder if in heaven there's going to be this picture. And I just see this in my mind's eye of being before the throne room of God and seeing somebody that I don't know their name, I don't know who they are, but yet behind them is this long train of people that are flowing behind them and inquiring of the Lord, Lord, what is it with these people? Well, these are the people through this person. He was yielded to my grace, and my grace poured out upon him allowed me to use this person for all of these other people to come to Christ. They're here because he yielded to my grace. And I wonder if I'll look around at that time, what will I see behind me? Will there be regret? Yeah. And how vital is prayer, church? And we know the consequences of prayer. We know these two things very well. And we know even from seeing these things that the indispensable thing in our life, it's not preaching. And some of you hear more sermons in a week than I preached in the last 6 months. Now, I know I've been gone for 6 Sundays in a row, but still, the indispensable thing is not preaching. The indispensable thing is not visiting somebody at the hospital or somebody that's sick. It's not coming up here to work at the church or for the church or with the church. The indispensable thing that we can't do without as Christians is prayer. Man, that is how important it is. Now, we know these horrible consequences because we've lived in them, right? We know these are probably just two at the start of the list because we don't pray the way that we need to pray. And for some reason, then, we believe a lie that those who would be clothed in the power of God, that those are the special people that God has reserved for them to really pray. That is a lie from hell. God has called you to do this. He's called you to walk in his power, you to be clothed in power from on high, not to forfeit that responsibility. And we read things, write about famous people, like we just read about James. Do you know James is a half-brother of Jesus, one of the fathers of the early church, and they called James, this is his nickname, Camel Knees, because he spent so much time on his knees in prayer, they were calloused and swollen. And they called him Camel Knees because that's what he did all day long. And we read stories about the Puritans, right, who came over here to settle in the United States. And although these stories have been taken out of our history books now, we can read them in old history books, and how through the power of prayer, they changed and influenced a nation in what they did. We read stories about people like Billy Graham and how he goes out into the forest and he lays his Bible on a tree stump and he wrestles with God in prayer about the ministry that is coming up in his life. We read things about Martin Luther going out to pray and seeing the might of the Lord. We read things about David Young. He chose a pastor of the largest church in the world in South Korea. And they're like, how did you grow this church? He says, I don't know. I spend more than 8 hours a day praying. So I don't know what's been going on. Right? And we wonder, is there any connection to the power of God and to prayer? You bet. That's the whole connection. And if it's severed in our lives, boy, we're going to be missing out on something. On something that the Lord wants to do in us. You know, all of my life has been a journey of what God has done with me through prayer. When I was a child, I would wake up with my father and read the Bible. I wouldn't even pray, and I just loved, in that innocence of childhood, just consuming the stories of God. And then, you know, you get into teenage life and you figure out, oh, this is what sin is. Oh, my gosh, you know, I'm the worst person on the planet. And the Lord started teaching me about prayer and just wrestling with him. And even as recently as a few years ago, I would spend about an hour with the Lord, and 45 minutes of that was in God's word and 15 minutes was in prayer. And the Lord said, Jonathan, you got the ratios backwards. Get on your knees before me and cry out to me. And I'm not dictating that you need to pray more than you read your Bible. You need to do what the Lord is telling you to do and be with him. But I know this, 3 weeks ago when I was fasting and I was seeking the Lord on my sabbatic leave, I feel like I haven't stopped praying since that time. Paul tells us in all things, in all circumstances, to pray. I just feel like I am constantly in prayer. I feel like when I'm talking to you that I'm praying for you. I feel like when you go your separate ways that the Lord is right here with me and I can't ignore his presence. And God, here's what they just told me and I don't want to hold it because it's kind of nasty, so I'm just going to give it to you, right? And you just take that. Is that okay? Great. And we're just walking together and he's before me and I'm with him. We're just abiding together. That's prayer. That's what this Clothed in Power on High stuff is all about, to just be with him and let him take you in his presence and let those other things fall to the wayside. Why don't we do it? Y'all are falling asleep. I need you to wake up. Why don't we pray, right? Somebody, just call it out. Why don't we pray? Why don't you pray? You're too busy. Man, our time has been sucked out from under us, right? Why not? Why don't you pray? Didn't feel like he answers. Man, I just get down and I'm talking to the couch and then I get up and the couch is still there and my life is still the same, right? Sleep wins. Unfortunately, yes, for all of us, that's the reason. We're lazy. Feelings of guilt, right? So I got to do other stuff. I got to care for our children. Is that what you're talking about? I got to... Guilt that you messed up. So God doesn't want to hear from me anymore. Because I'm a sinner, right? So let me boil all these things down into two reasons I believe we don't pray. Here's the first one. Because we really don't believe. We really don't have faith. Because if we really believed that God was on the other end of that prayer, what would we do? What would be able to stop us from getting to him with our needs, with our desires? Maybe it is, like we talked about, you don't believe that God is real or powerful. Maybe you don't believe that God has heard you. Maybe you don't believe that you're important enough to God because of your sin that he wants to even talk to you. Maybe you've been in that unbelief for so long, but you know that Jesus is a way to heaven. And so now you've just crafted your whole life to be a life without faith, right? And I even wonder, what percentage of your life even requires faith? Maybe that's the reason we don't pray passionately, because we don't have something to need God passionately for. Because we haven't believed for so long that that's what ends up happening. You know, I've never known God not to come through in a greater measure than what I've asked of him. I've never known God for me to approach him and him to cast me out of his presence and say, I don't love you anymore. I've only known a greater measure of the love of God, the deeper the sin it was that I committed. I've never known anything that wasn't able to be nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. Church, he loves you. He wants to be with you. Now, for the other half of us that have maybe matured in Christ more, we've moved beyond our problem of belief. And we believe, I've seen God do so many things. I believe that he can take care of problems. But when I just come down to it, here's a reason that a lot of us don't pray. We want to walk with Christ and we want to walk in the flesh at the same time. And brothers, sisters, those two things just don't mix. You can't go back and forth from one to the other all the time. A Christian can only walk in flesh, or he can only walk in the spirit. And what's scary, when we're walking in the flesh and the things of this world, we can even pray in the flesh, right? God, this is what I need from you. You're supposed to be like a genie that gives me whatever I need. That's praying in the flesh. Our praying in the spirit is abiding with Christ and waiting on him, letting him clothe us with power from on high. Look with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. In verse 5, Romans chapter 8, in verse 5, the Lord says this, "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. See how opposed they are to each other in verse 6. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Church, is it any more clear than that? We have to sit in the throne room of God before the cross, at the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, and let him just consume us and abide in him. That's prayer. Before I left on the sabbatic leave, I was angry a little bit with God. I was anxious about some things personally with the Lord. And what it boiled down to was that I know in Scripture it says those who are in Christ do not sin. Yet I would get so frustrated with the Lord because I would see such great momentum going on in my life with what God was doing in the Spirit, and then to see that derailed by sin in my life and frustration of God. Why am I not continuing, being able to continue to walk in the Spirit? Because I love you. And so I'm crying out to God about this on the sabbatic leave, and the Lord starts revealing to me, Jonathan, look at how many ways you're providing and feeding the things of your flesh and starving the things of my Spirit. Look at your time and money and effort that's put into things that lead to death. And look at what you're investing that leads to life in me. The Lord, in the course of that description, led me to Romans chapter 13. And at the very last verse of the chapter, in chapter 13, verse 14, Paul says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust." Don't provide for death in your life. See, when I'm abiding with God, he reveals those things in my life that are leading me to death. And God, are you calling me to say, I got to cut off those things that I'm giving life to that flesh with? Yes, it's life change, Jonathan, to turn and follow the Spirit so that in 3 weeks when you're still walking in the Spirit, you haven't still raised up this flesh monster over there that's going to consume you and break what I'm accomplishing in the Spirit. The flesh has to be crucified. Even so we don't pray in the flesh has to be crucified so we can walk in the intimate power of the Lord. Church, for time's sake, I'd just like to ask for you to close your eyes with me for just a moment. And in prayer together, I just want us to imagine together that we're caught up in the very presence of the Lord. That around us is a sea of crystal, that around us are angels crying out, holy, 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 that around us are nations and tribes all caught up together to worship the Lord. And in that moment, suddenly, the need that I have for later on in this day, the problems that I'm having relationally, the things that just happened earlier in my day that are bad, those things suddenly don't matter because I'm simply with the Lord. And it's not about me anymore. It's about the presence of the Lord. And in that presence, I feel the arms of the Lord just affirming and loving. God, that you would love me so much that even though I'm a sinner and bringing me to this place with Jesus Christ, that I can be right with God, where I can say, God, I just simply want to be used by you. But in my honesty in the throne room of God, my sin is ever before me. And just abiding at that foot of the cross of Jesus and just allowing him as I wait there in his presence to take those sins, to nail them to the cross, to allow me to be free, to say, Jonathan, you are loved. Jonathan, you are special. You are priceless. And now I've got you where I want you. Now I've got you in this place where you can be used, where I can wrap my power around you, where you can sit, Lord, Just sit there at the resurrection and at the tomb and see the light burst forth on that third day and see that sin has been conquered and see that death is no more in your life. To allow my spirit just to rest on you and power to see the path that I want you to walk in these days ahead where you can walk with me blamelessly. God, that you would bring me to a place where I would have the heart to say, God, if you don't go with me, if for a moment I thought you were going to forsake me, I don't want to go because I just want to dwell with you in your presence, Lord. Just with you, Jesus. To hear his voice say, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. God, may you teach us just to dwell with you. And I want you to look up here with me. I want you to watch what's on the screen behind us and think about what is God calling you to do in your prayer life.
Is there anything better than that on this earth? Man, what's better than that? It's all you guys so screwed up. There's some of the little prayers I did, guys. I don't know what's supposed to be obvious in these guys. I'm trying to live, but I fail. But God, you heard me. You listened to me. You love me. Because that's the one thing I ask for that I will seek after. I'm just going to ask for, I'm going to pursue this, I'm going to go after this. God, here's this one thing, it's just that I would dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple.
What an amazing transformation. Yeah, bless the Lord. You hear the Lord saying, wait. And let me clothe you with power from on high. Church, do you realize what you look like when you're clothed with power from on high? Do you know that when you're clothed, you are a warrior? You know when you're clothed, the enemy trembles and flees when you walk into a room because Almighty God has walked into that room with you. Do you know you are equipped for every good work that God has called you to do in this world? When you're clothed with power from on high, do you know this? You are loved by Almighty God. And even in this armor, the Lord says, pray in all circumstances and on all occasions. Church, you can conquer anything through prayer. Go there with me. Pray with me. Let's be that generation. Let's be that church. They are serious about praying and seeking the Lord and his power. Father, we love you. We just give you this time, Lord Jesus. And we would ask, God, even if we don't remember any of the dumb things that I've said this morning, that your Spirit would give us a passion and a heart to pray. Lord, it's not about coming in here on this Sunday morning and gleaning some scraps from the table of what you're teaching me. God, it's about us joining hands together as a church and running this race with perseverance in your power with everybody we come in contact with everything that we do. God, give us the courage to wait on you, the patience to wait, and the courage to walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.